it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. We've got the two Grand Slam coming up at 7:25. A chance to win $2,000 if you can get all 10 questions right. We've got Red Wing tickets to give away today. You don't have to answer any questions right. We'll tell you about how to win in the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to have Red Wing tickets for every home game for the centennial season, and that gets started tonight. Ross Tucker 802, all kinds of good stuff today. The Tigers take center stage. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was a day for people to vent and let frustrations out, and they didn't get really anything to cheer about in game 3. John, everything changed yesterday. That was a lively atmosphere. Team gave them something to cheer about, and the city came alive. And this team is very much alive going back to Seattle for game 5.
It is, and it is. This is why sports can be so agonizing and so painful. It is the ultimate original reality series, the teams that you are fans of. And there are painful moments, excruciating moments. And then it's followed by unadulterated and just unbelievable joy. And that's what Tigers fans that's what they felt in the span of 24 hours. Because at 6 o'clock, 2 days ago, 7 o'clock, when the game finally, you know, started, the fans were there and they were ready to erupt. And it never happened. It was painful. There was nothing offensively that they did to give the fans anything to cheer about. And then all of a sudden, less than 24 hours later, mm-hmm. you get into that game and you're thinking, well, Kyle Finnegan, he comes in, bases loaded, no outs. They're down, 2-0 already at the time. Game, everyone's thinking the same thing. Like, this is it.
Uh-oh.
This is the end. This is how it all ends. And he gets the double play. They score one. He makes it, 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bottom of the fifth happens. And they score 3 runs to tie it up. And that place, it came across the TV. Now, it being there is obviously the best.
Oh, it's incredible.
But I think every Tigers fan that was watching at that time, no one was sitting down. Absolutely no one. It brought you out of the couch. It brought you out of your seat. You were the only way you would have been sitting down is you were driving around and you couldn't stand up and cheer, but you were probably honking your horn saying, hell yeah.
So AJ said in the update, people might forget this is the offense we've been for most of the season. Nobody really cares what your offense was in the first 100 games or the last 60 games. It matters what your offense does when your backs are against the wall. And their two best offensive outputs in the last month have come in elimination spots. Game 3 of the wild card round against the Cleveland Guardians, they scored 6 runs. And yesterday they scored 9 runs. Gotta have it. Backs against the wall. All that matters is not what you did in April or May and not what you did in September at the end of the season.
Uh-huh.
What offense shows up for Tarek Skubal on Friday? Because the bar is not going to be 9. But the bar, you have to give the guy something because I know he's going to rise to the moment. He has been a menace this season, a menace in the postseason. And he's talked about how game 5 last year is a personal motivation that he has rewatched and rewatched and rewatched. So for him to get the ball against Seattle, where he played some college ball, where he has some roots down, where he has a chance to go into their house, put the panic on them. The fear of blowing it on them with their fans. Detroit's got a shot now. You can't count the Tigers out. For as maddening as they've been, for as hard as they've made it on themselves and their fans, you can't count these guys out, and yesterday proved it.
And it was, were you there to watch any part of the warm-ups?
I didn't catch anything.
Okay,
no.
So Dan Dickerson was talking about watching the Seattle team in warm-ups, and it kind of felt like they entered this game going, yeah, we got this one. He was talking about them, and how cool and relaxed they were, throwing a football around in the outfield and just kind of and going into it with as much confidence as you could possibly go into it. And rightfully so.
I say understandably so. And even in the game, they're up 3-0.
Yeah. And I just think that it was so gratifying to be able to do it to that team. And there's no rival. I don't feel any rivalry between the Tigers and the Mariners. But the fact that they did what they did at the trade deadline. We did what we did or didn't do at the trade deadline. And now all of a sudden, all the pressure is on them because they've been in this position before and they in the postseason and have not been able to come through with anything.
This sets up peak sports theater. It's a Friday night. It's the same game the Tigers made it to a year ago. Game 5, ALDS, on the road, Tarek Skubal. It's the narrative. Seattle made the moves. Detroit didn't. Does Scott Harris get his win? Do the Tigers advance further? Does the season roll on? Or heartbreak? Because you know if the bats show up, they'll win. The only way they lose is if the bats don't show up. Like it all builds to this spot on Friday night. It's anything you could ask for, everything you could ask for. This is sports at its finest. Let's get to Brandon in Auburn Hills. You're on 97.1.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Good morning, Brandon.
So one thing that pumped me up about the game, I think it was before our rally, Naylor was just on second base stealing signs, and the announcers called it out. They're like, he's just waving his arms trying to steal our signs. And then I think it was the next inning when Carpenter hit that ball down first base, and then Naylor basically just clotheslined him. And then it seems like the next few bats after that is when our rally started to come alive. But like in such an intense series, people stealing signs and people hitting our players kind of gives you that playoff atmosphere, you know?
You're right about that.
Oh, yeah, it was intense. And I didn't have any issue with what Naylor did and Carp. I mean, kind of wish Carp would have just plowed him, run him over, but I know there's other
factors,
Major League Baseball rules in play and all that stuff, which kind of stinks.
And the sign stealing, like a lot of this is pitch-com now, so it's not.
Yeah.
But you can still help with location. Like,
sure.
You're going to be in, out, where's the catcher setting up? But that's always been part of baseball.
Right. Yeah. And it's just that is part of baseball. And it was so gratifying from the fifth inning on to see what the Tigers were doing.
Well, think about it. The fifth inning, that's when Seattle left Bryce Miller in. And he was a guy with a 5.6 ERA. They're playing with fire. Second time through the order, the guy got crushed this year. AJ made the call early on Mize, maybe too early for some. It's clear Seattle waited too long with their starter because Torque gets on. All of a sudden, they got to go to Spire.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have it. And the Tigers got right back into this baseball game, starting in that fifth inning. And then, you know, I think the best part is, okay, you tie it up. It's 3-3 in the fifth, brand new ball game. The very next inning, Riley Green, bomb.
Yeah.
You got the lead. Javi Baez, it's not a one-run lead. It's part of 7 unanswered runs, what would be 9 unanswered runs for the Tigers offense.
And on the flip side, you bring in Troy Melton, mm-hmm. a rookie pitcher that's started some, and he's been coming out of the bullpen, and we thought, oh, well, he's better as a starter, and we saw it a little bit in game 1. But then he comes in. There's a couple of base runners in that sixth inning. But then the seventh and the eighth, it's 3-up. 3-down. He was mowing them down.
Take a text. One thing that's not talked about, the Tigers had only 3 strikeouts. It's a great point.
Because mm-hmm.
they had 68 through the first 6 playoff games.
I'd love to know the last time they struck out 3 times or less. Somebody should look that up.
1968? Was that what? No, the update was 9 runs in a playoff game since 1968. My bad.
I'll put Mark Ryan on it.
Sad part is,
knows.
I'm sure. Sad part is, if we do win, Scott Harris is going to say, "See, I told you so." Even though we all know they needed an arm and a bat.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I did some research, and the Tigers have a horrendous record after games where they win by 4+ runs.
Again,
well, show your work. I want to know. You did all the research. What is the number? Text it in. What is the research? What happens after they score 4 runs? The Tigers will have to do something they haven't done yet in this postseason. Win back-to-back games.
Sure.
Text says, I was stuck at work for the game, glued to my phone, looking at the box score, erupting every time we scored. Brandon in Monroe says, I was clapping and yelling as the offense came to life. I was listening on the radio on my way home from work yesterday. And this one says, Javier Bayes is my Tiger. Let's go Red Wings. What a time to be a Detroit fan. Kyle and Pinckney.
Yeah. I mean, just think about that journey that he's been on. And even this year, All-Star as a center fielder. And then the second half of the season after, you know, post All-Star break, I know it's a little bit less than half, but nothing to write home about. But in the postseason, he has been the hot bat. He has been Mr. Clutch.
So they mentioned the Red Wings. It seems like the cosmic energy is leaning to the Tigers winning this game. Scooble is going to Seattle, where he pitched in college and where he suffered Tommy John. It's a career completion win for him up to this point. And yeah, more goals are down the line.
Sure.
Yeah, but full circle, yeah.
There's a full circle to this. The Red Wings play Toronto at home on Saturday night. Game one of the ALCS would be in Toronto Sunday night. Game two of the ALCS would be in Toronto probably afternoon. The Red Wings play in Toronto Monday afternoon because it's Canadian Thanksgiving. I mean, all the things are pointing, plus Seattle's playoff history. I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like cosmic
stars are lining up.
Don't we have some big moon, super moon coming soon, too?
Oh, no, super moon already happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it happened a couple days ago.
And think about their travel. But that's something that can energize like a team. Like they're going to play in, they're going to finish a game at 9 o'clock Seattle time. If they win, they'll have a humongous celebration.
Yeah.
Who knows when they fly back? Probably Saturday morning. They'll probably make a pit stop in Detroit and go straight to Toronto. That's insane.
Yeah.
Think about Sunday. If the Tigers win Friday, Sunday is game one of the ALCS at the same time as Sunday night football, Lions at Arrowhead. What a time.
What are you watching, John?
This is why you have more than one screen.
Two Grand Slam next.
We'll get to the two Grand Slam. We talked a lot about the pitching matchup on Friday. It's Scooble and George Kirby. That pitching matchup is brought to you by Old National Bank. Two Grand Slam. We'll get to Heather's news. It's 97.1. I got to tell you about KG Law. If you're in a car accident, you need someone that cares about you. You need someone that knows what they're doing. And that's what KG Law is all about. They specialize in car accidents. They're not going to settle for a lowball offer from the insurance company. Get my guy, Lawrence Cagey, 877-KG-CARES. That's K-A-J-Y. If someone you care about is injured in a car accident, get someone that cares about you. 877-KG-CARES. That's KGCARES.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, before the two grand slam, Heather, what's in the news?
Well, Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan, along with nearly a dozen community leaders, kicked off this year's Halloween in the D campaign on Tuesday morning. So this initiative actually began in 2018. It's a way to make Halloween fun for the new generation of Detroit children. And Duggan said that he was actually surprised after talking to a lot of young adults that had really distinctive memories of Halloween. So now this new Halloween in the D initiative features a range of Halloween activities at police precincts, recreation centers, firehouses all throughout the city. Lots of fun activities for the youth, the trunk or treating, parks that are fully decked out, different activities at recreation centers, of course, the free candy across the city. So obviously want to change the way kids feel about Halloween and feel safe in their own community. Over 30,000 kids and their families participate in Halloween in the D. So
yeah, and the fire department down Detroit, the police department down there, they've done so many great community involvement activities.
Yeah.
And this is just the next one. It's going to be cool.
Yep. It's been more than 3 years since Al Sabatka was fired from his job with the Red Wings after he was caught peeing in a drain at work. And now he is headed to trial this week where he hopes to convince a jury that he was wrongfully terminated from his job that he held for 50 seasons. So he is suing Olympia Entertainment. He is alleging that he was let go not because of the peeing incident, but because of his age. And they're using that, what he claims,
as
the reason to let him go. So now he has to convince a jury of this, right? He does say that he had prostate issues, which is why he had to urinate in that drain. He couldn't hold it. We'll see. I you know, it sounds like his attorney is saying, well, wait, this was a very harsh punishment. There could have been other things or steps taken. Maybe he could have been written up, or he could have been suspended for a period of time, that this is not how it should have been handled. So we'll see what happens. A woman visiting Disneyland died after riding the park's famed Haunted Mansion. Police say that this woman was in her 60s. She was found unresponsive on the ride Monday evening. Disneyland emergency personnel attempted life-saving measures. Then Anaheim Fire and Rescue responded. They were able to rush this woman to the hospital, but she was declared dead. Police say that the incident appears to be, you know, this just really unfortunate medical episode, maybe a heart attack. They're not saying what happened, but a medical episode. They say there's no indication of any, you know, errors with the attraction or anything involving the attraction. In fact, the ride was back open later that day. So sad to hear that. Hey, if you want to win $2,000, give us a call right now. This is your chance, 248-539-9797. You guys, a young man who is accused of single-handedly starting the Palisades fire that, you remember, devastated parts of L.A., left at least a dozen people dead, thousands without homes, has been arrested. A 29-year-old is accused of maliciously starting a fire in the early hours of January 1st. And that fire was initially put out, but it continued to burn underground. And then winds kind of ignited it, and it basically took over and created the Palisades fire. And they say the flames, along with the Eaton fire that was also going on in another part of LA, erupted on January 7th, burned for weeks, claimed at least 31 lives in total, and over 23,000 acres were burned in the Palisades fire. Devastating. We all remember that. Well, the man has been charged with federal counts of destruction of property by means of fire. And if convicted, he could face between 5 and 20 years in prison. There's all this evidence they have of him. He was an Uber driver. And apparently after, you know, dropping someone off, he went up this hill on a trail, lit this fire. But they had stuff on his phone. He was asking ChatGPT questions about starting fires, and if he'd be in trouble. He was listening to a song in French that I'm guessing had something to do with a fire, because the music video shows things on fire and all sorts of things like that. So glad he was caught. Glad he was arrested.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's do it.
Money time.
Let's give away some money. 60 seconds, 10 questions. Get them all right, $2,000. Easiest way to win some money. Who's our contestant?
Our contestant today from Ferndale, it's Alex. Alex, good morning.
Good morning. How we doing?
Good.
How about yourself?
Not too bad. I'm stoked.
We're excited for you. Good luck, Alex. You know the rules. If there's anything you don't know, you can say pass. And if there's enough time, we'll get back to it. All right. Your time's going to start right now. Who does Michigan State play in football this coming Saturday?
UCLA.
Who do the Detroit Red Wings play tonight?
Canadians.
Who played J. Robert Oppenheimer in the movie Oppenheimer?
That is... pass.
Who currently leads the NFL in passing yardage this season?
That would be Stafford.
Who is doing sports updates on our show this morning?
Is that Tecumseh Tom?
Nathan MacKinnon plays for this NHL team.
Ooh, I have no idea. The Jets.
This artist had the 2014 hit Stay With Me.
Sam Smith.
What is the nickname of the Navy football team?
Pass.
Who is the manager of the Seattle Mariners?
Tom Wilson.
What is the state capital of Oregon?
We got you with four.
Eugene. Okay. First time, not bad.
No, not bad.
That's right, Mike. $100.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm surprised that you almost got to 10.
He took too long on
the Oppenheimer. You took a long time to pass on a couple of them.
Yeah.
But Yeah, you did pretty well. So we'll you got four, so that's $100.
We'll get you paid. We'll put you on hold. Yeah, of course. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks to Feminino Law Firm for sponsoring our Thursday 2 Grand Slam. Get David, get paid.
I was gesturing like pass.
I know. Yeah. Come on, move on.
Might could be a gimme at the end. Anyway, let's go through it. Who does Michigan State play this Saturday?
UCLA.
Who do the Red Wings play tonight?
The Montreal Canadiens.
He's 2 for 2. This is easy, right? Piece of cake. Who played Robert Oppenheimer in Oppenheimer?
He's the guy that you can see. You look at him and be like, I know who it is, but I have no idea what his name is. It's Cillian Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
Probably one of the best actors, but you can't remember his name.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, he won the Oscar for his best actor because of Oppenheimer.
But honestly, I mean, that's the only one that I would... That's the only movie I think I've ever seen with him in it.
He was in
Inception.
I'm not a Peaky Blinders, but that's a popular
Scarecrow
show.
Scarecrow and the Batmans.
Yeah. Okay, who leads the NFL in passing yards? We mentioned it in Thursday Touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, it was Matthew Stafford. Who is doing sports updates on the show today? Tom, will you give us a sports update later, maybe? No?
What are you looking for there? Would that be, if I was, would that be right?
Yes.
To come see Tom, would we have to count?
Yeah, because that counts. That's you. Everyone knows that's you.
Gov. Who would count?
Yeah.
What else would count?
Yeah. Tom and Milliken.
No, it must be first and last name.
Nathan MacKinnon plays for this NHL team.
What do you say? The Jets?
Yeah.
It's a good stab at it, but no, it's the Avalanche.
Avs. Artist that had the 2014 hit Stay With Me.
It's a good poll. Sam Smith.
Nickname of Navy football.
Did he give a guess on this? No, he passed. Midshipman.
Who's the manager of the Seattle Mariners?
He said Tom Wilson.
If only he just said Wilson.
He likes Toms.
Yes, apparently. Yes, Wilson.
Dan Wilson.
Yes.
And the capital of Oregon. Yes, John, just like the volleyball. Capital of Oregon is not Eugene. He didn't get that in any way. It's
Salem.
Salem. All right, Tiger fans, we're going to be talking more about our baseball team. They were able to stave off elimination and force a game 5 in Seattle. A way different mood today. It's 97.1.
Hey, I want to highlight the great value that your Metro Detroit Buick GMC dealers are bringing you, our listeners, this month. And maybe you need a new truck in the driveway. Who doesn't? Get Motor City's hottest truck. It's the GMC Sierra 1500 Elevation for an unbelievable $199 per month. Another thrilling option is the GMC Sierra EV, built to exceed what you thought an electric truck could be with over 600 horsepower. And that comes standard. These deals are happening right now at any of your 20 Metro Detroit Buick GMC dealers. GM estimated horsepower rating based on due at signing of 3,189. Must be a current lessee of a 2020 model year or newer Buick GM or GMC vehicle through GM Financial for at least 30 days prior to the new vehicle sale. Tax, title, license, dealer fees are extra. No security deposit required. Mileage charge of 25 cents per mile. Over 20,000 miles at participating dealers only. Residency restrictions do apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Little boom, boom, pow for the Tigers. Got the bats going. Came back down 3-0. Backs against the wall. A 9-run outburst. 9 unanswered. That'll keep the season going.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, 97.1. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass. We got Luke Sloan on the updates. And we got your thoughts all morning long on this baseball team. Yesterday was a good old-fashioned vent session. But we told you the season wasn't over. And John, season not over.
No, and that's exactly, I mean, I keep saying it time and time again with this team, and some of it's just to remind myself, that's why you play the game. Odds can be not in your favor. There could be nothing going your way, and then all of a sudden, and especially in baseball, it's one swing of the bat, and you feel like you're right there, back in it.
Well, and how things change. Game 5 in Seattle, where their fans are going to have all of the pressure mounting are we going to blow this? We were up 2-1. We were up 3-0 in the game. They can't hit. We let them back in, and now Tarek Skubal is a menace. It's not a guarantee. They've beaten him before, but are they going to beat him every single time the guy pitches? Eventually, he's going to get one.
Yes, he's due.
He's pitched well. It's not one of these, oh, a hitter's 0-20 right. And he's due. Skubal has been phenomenal. He's going to give him every chance. And if the Tigers hit the way they've hit in elimination games, John.
You pair that with Skubal?
John, yeah. ALCS. And that's the key, is in elimination games, game 3 of the wild card round yesterday, 6 runs, 9 runs, their best offensive outputs in a month. That says something about this team. You know what I mean? Like, as much as they've made it hard on themselves and their fans,
yeah,
they are not out of it. They rally, and they did it again.
And we should be celebrating a great fifth inning, a great performance by Troy Melton, Javi Baez, the bottom of the 6, he tied 3-3, and then all of a sudden, hey, before you know it, it's what, you know, 7-3, 8-3. But think about this from Seattle's perspective and the confidence that they went into that game with. They're up 3-0. They have the bases loaded with no outs.
Yep.
Kyle Finnegan comes in, but they're up 2-0 at the time. And base loaded, no outs. He gets a double play. They score 1 to make it 3-0.
But that's it.
But that's it. There's a, you know, little pop fly, and you're out of the inning.
You wanted people to call in about their favorite moment in that game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an underrated one.
Sure, and I don't know that anybody's going to call in and say, oh, my favorite moment is us giving up a run.
On a double play early.
But it's, you know, and...
But it was a key moment is my only point.
Right, but it's okay, Casey Mize throws a good 3 innings. And then AJ, and maybe he pulled him early, maybe he didn't. Who knows what's going to happen at that point, but Tyler Holton comes in, loads the bases up, doesn't get an out, he gets pulled. And then Finnegan comes in, gets you out of trouble as best as he possibly could. I mean, he could have struck out the side, but that seemed like it was going to be a bit of an impossibility.
Yep.
Only gives up 1 run and kept the Tigers in the fight.
Yeah, I thought it was early for Mize. Now, you'd rather be early than late because it felt like they left Miller in too long on the other side. Like, I would have liked to see Mize with 6 Ks through 3 innings, who seemed to be getting stronger, get another frame so you don't ask the bullpen to get as many outs. Here's the other thing, though. You don't ask the bullpen to get as many tough outs when your offense comes alive. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's been the biggest thing in all of this, is finally getting an offensive outburst. So the fifth inning, they get 3. They tie it up. But even then, you're going, got a long way to go. To immediately answer with more add-on runs in the sixth inning. Riley Green giving the fans something to cheer about. Those fans were ready. He gave him this shot into outer space, yep, and activated the crowd to a completely different level. And then how about our guy, Javier? The most clutch Tiger. He gives you breathing room. It's not a 1-run lead anymore. Now it's a 4-run lead. Mm-hmm. So you could pick from any of the moments. To me, it was Javi. Because Javi, that was the moment I felt they were winning the game. Anything before that was going to be tense and tight. Javi busted the game wide open.
Well, they get to 5-3, and you're thinking that the sixth inning is going to be this offensive explosion, that they are going to continue to add on runs, and, you know, no outs, you still got runners on base, but then, you know, McKinstry gets picked off of first. Oh, come on. Like, I mean, you want to talk about a buzzkill. That was it. And then Dylan Dingler's up at the plate and watches, you know, the third strike go by. Ah,
mm-hmm.
Oh, 2 outs. Oh, it's kind of that, hey, we're missing that opportunity. We're not capitalizing as much as we possibly could. And then Perez doubles. And then up walks Javi Baez. And he has been clutch. He was clutch early in the season, Javier Baez. He was clutch early in the season by stepping in at center field. His bat was, that's a whole Javier became a thing. He was an all-star. Second half of the season, much like the rest of the lineup, just dead. And then the playoffs happened. And he has been that guy throughout the course of the playoffs, where you're looking at it going, well, if Javi Baez is your best hitter, you know, you're really up, you know, S Creek, but he has been that guy. He's batting 346 in the playoffs. He's been there every step of the way, and he comes through in one of the biggest clutch moments.
And I love what he said after the game about boos. Like, Javi's been through it. I mean, he's been booed in Chicago and in New York and here in Detroit. And he said, I don't mind the boos. I've heard boos my entire career. Quote, I feel like that's the desire that the fans want to have us have success. And you have to let the fans be fans. We won the game. That's what really matters.
Mm-hmm.
He gets it, dude. It's because people care. People don't boo you if they didn't care. They care. And now they're cheering and chanting his name because he's delivering. Mm-hmm. That was a majestic home run.
Yes.
As Dan Dickerson often says.
Yeah, and he hit one foul earlier.
Yeah, you're right. It was both down that left field side. Yeah. Ticket text 248-539-9797. Love that the bats came alive and the players put the fickle fans like Costa in their place.
Mm.
Good teams find a way to win despite the haters. I think I picked the Tigers to win the series, John.
You did.
Okay.
You did.
And I
sometimes it's not what you say or when you say it. It's how you say it. And I know yesterday there were a lot of people. Like there were tons of people that were calling in. The phone lines were jam-packed with the disappointment of the way that the Tigers performed in Game 3.
And I don't think there was anything wrong with anybody calling into our show yesterday. You don't have to feel bad about it. You don't have to feel guilty about it. You felt how you felt.
Yeah.
You felt the way the team made you feel. And it's awesome that the team responded and gave you guys, fans, stuff to cheer about and continues the season.
And it was really...
And John, you and I were consistent about that. We've never wanted them to miss the playoffs or just get the season over with.
No.
We've said, hey, as painful as it's been, torturous, I think was your words, it's been,
yeah,
winning is good. Keep finding ways to win. Even if it means Scott Harris gets to be smug, I would rather Scott Harris be right because it means my baseball team is achieving things they haven't done in a very long time.
And there's a reason it's a five-game series. You know, just because you're down 2-1, you're not eliminated. There's still an opportunity to play a game to tie it up, and there's two more games that you have to win it.
Can you guys play the Heather Boom Boom Pow soundbite? Yeah, we can. We probably will a bunch today, given the offense that we saw yesterday at Comerica Park.
Uh-huh. Or we could just go live.
We could. Or we could just play the sound effect. I mean, I can say boom, boom, pow.
That's all we're looking for.
It's better with a little bit of music behind it.
If you want the Tigers to win, Jim needs to guarantee they lose. I got bad news for you guys. I'm not guaranteeing a Game 5 loss. I feel good about the Tigers.
No, but on the flip side, you're not guaranteeing a win.
No, I think that would be silly. I mean...
Oh, now it's silly. Really? So you're saying you've learned from past proclamations?
No. Let's not get that crazy. I didn't think 15 games was going to be blown. That's crazy.
He hasn't learned. I think there's might be a disco appearance later in this show.
Oh, no. The Chiefs are still a good team.
With a twist.
Oh.
Don't give away the whole show. We got a lot to do today. 248-539-9797. Let's get to the phones. Let's get to Nick. You're next. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know, I kind of agree with you. I think that moment of Javi just hitting that rocket ship out, that busted it open, and that was a great moment. But I also feel like, you know, I'm not the fan, kind of thinking back to yesterday, that wants the win by 10 every game. I think this is part of the game, and this is, as you said, why we play it. I love that grit, that grind. I mean, compare it to the Lions, man. That's what Detroit's all about. We grind through it all. I mean, that's part of it, and I love it.
Well, Nick, I think most fans would probably love to win by 10 every game. We understand that's not realistic. But given the option of a nail-biter or winning by the double digits, I'll take the double-digit win.
Yeah, no kidding. 248-539-9797. Your outlook now on the team and your favorite moment from that game.
The pendulum has swung.
It certainly feels that way, doesn't it? Hey, this team, when they're facing elimination, has found ways to hit. Now Derek Skubal gets one more shot to relive last year. He gets a second chance for a Game 5 ALDS win. Ross Tucker at 8:02 will give away Red Wings tickets later in the show. It's 97.1.
What's up, Detroit? It's your girl, Heather, and I'm always looking for ways to stay on top of my game. So listen, you know how much I rely on my phone for everything. That's why I got to tell you about this insane deal from Verizon that'll help you be your best self, too. We're talking a low price on the best 5G in Detroit. Seriously, whether I'm blasting my favorite tracks in the morning commute or snagging those last-minute tickets to the hottest new flick, check this out. You can switch today and pay just $50 a month for a single line. You heard me right, $50 a month for the best 5G in Detroit when you bring your own phone on the unlimited welcome plan with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. That's a no-brainer, people. Visit your nearest Detroit Verizon store today to lock in this incredible deal. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Rankings based on RootMetrics Root Score report dated 2H2024. Your results may vary. Additional terms apply.
Part of a 9-3 win. That's Dan Dickerson on the call. And the Tigers season, not over. Game 5. Coming up Friday night. Tarek Skubal back where he played his college ball, where he suffered a Tommy John injury. Now he gets to flip the script from last year's Game 5. He gets a do-over, John. In life, you rarely get a do-over. Skubal and the Tigers will get a do-over. They've made it exactly where they made it last year. We got phone calls to get to, 248-539-9797. 8 o'clock hour. Ross Tucker gives us an excuse to mix in some Lions and Chiefs. Talk a little bit about the football weekend coming up. Let's get to Pedro in Clarkston. You're on 97.1.
That was one of the greatest games I ever watched. I probably watched the highlights about 50 times. They finally hit the slider. If that's what they're giving you, hit it. And that's what started it, along with Riley Green getting that breaking ball.
It was a game where you thought you were dead, and then you come roaring back as loud as they've been in a month's time, right? 9 runs in a game. We haven't seen that since the 10th of September.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just, hey, they won a big game. It's how quickly things shifted and how emphatically they won the big game, you know?
And in the middle of everything, yep, that's when it all began. They just said, you know what? If we're getting a slider, we've been seeing the whole series, let's put the ball in play. That's what it started at, and it just went from player to player. Awesome game. I think they're going to win it all.
All as in?
World Series?
Dead series.
Okay.
I just wanted
to clarify.
Right. Yes. I take it. Series of series, okay?
All right.
They have a chance. Whoever they play next, they're always going to have a chance. Yeah, you got to see it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think they're going to win Game 5.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay, we could talk about the stars aligning and Skubal and where he's from and the fact that he's been 0-3 and he's due and he's pitched well. The bats are starting to fire up. Like, there's a lot of things. And the struggles that Seattle has had in the postseason.
Yeah.
I just think that they play a better game tomorrow night.
I think the experience of last year is huge for tomorrow night. You know, they've been in this spot. Cleveland was going crazy last year.
Skubal's been in this spot, too. I think yep, that's the most important. Yeah, the team has, some of these bats have, but I think the biggest thing is Skubal and the fact that he has talked so much about how that game affected him throughout the offseason.
Yeah, and you know what? Seattle, if they don't start quick, bats are struggling. Skubal is kind of owning them to begin with. They're going to start thinking of the outside noise. They will. It's natural. The organization has a horrible history, and they're going to be hearing that outside noise for 2 days now.
We did get a ticket text that says, I'd like to think of Jennifer and her daughter for bringing the good luck to that game yesterday. We had a couple calls from people who said, you know what? I know things are bad. I'm taking my daughter. The one guy said he's taking his grandson, his 9-year-old grandson.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a game to go to.
I know. If either of them are listening, I would love to hear what the reaction of the grandson was, what the reaction of your daughter was. Because there were a lot of people that were taking their kids, and maybe it was their first experience. Maybe they've been to games before, but it's their first playoff experience.
It's kind of an interesting way it all worked out, because it wasn't a sellout. You probably got tickets at the cheapest you've ever gotten for a Tiger playoff game.
Well, and even, I think it was a you yesterday that, maybe it was the grandpa and his grandson, you're like, oh man, I hate for that to be his first playoff experience because of what it was the day before.
Yeah.
And I was not there, but for those that I talked to that were, and I know you were as well.
Yeah.
That stadium went bonkers. There's no dome on it. If there was, it sounds like the lid would have been blown off.
It was a great time. And I think some of it was you're muttering, like people in the section are muttering while they're down 3-0 and here we go. Well, no, they found a way and they dug out of it. And I think the euphoria of how suddenly it flipped made for a great environment.
This is a special moment on one.
Yeah, you pointed to phone call number one. Livy, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah. We can. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're feeling pretty good. I am. I'm calling. My son was the proud recipient of the Torres home run ball, and that was just an amazing amount of momentum. And then the people who sat right behind us were so kind and gave him that ball. There were people who were next to them. They were like, we'll give you thousands of dollars for it. And they said it wasn't about that. They gave it to him. My son's 8.5, and he just lit up. It was amazing. And what a hit. We were out in K-Line's corner. It was so cool.
How many games has your son been to with you?
So I think, well, he's been to maybe like 6 this season. And okay. and a few beforehand. And so, I mean, I don't think that he recognized like how incredibly amazing it is. I was like, buddy, this is playoffs.
Yeah.
This is one, getting a ball is amazing, but like, this is the real deal. And we had to have a long talk because we were close to, foul ball territory about if it was a Mariners ball, the right thing to do, throw it back.
But, that's great parenting.
You're raising him right.
Oh, wow. He may not understand now at 8.5. But I guarantee you in another 5-6 years, and certainly when he gets into his 20s, he will. That's going to be a burned memory in his mind.
Oh, for sure. Getting out of school early, getting to be at the game, the energy is so great. And go Tigers. We're so proud of them.
Yeah, go Tigers. Thanks, Libby. That's an awesome story.
That is a great story.
I see why you pointed frantically over at the phone. Make sure we get that call in. 248-539-9797. Let's get to Guillermo. You're on 97.1.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
Good morning.
So, as a Mariners fan, I want to give kudos to the Tigers out there. It was an incredible game. And my point is, it really felt like the organization just switched because all of a sudden our bats went cold when we needed them to step up. And it was just, again, why can't they deliver when they need to? The Tigers were able to pull out another win when they desperately needed it, and it was a really incredible game, even though I was playing ladder golf when they finished. I just couldn't do it.
How do you feel about Friday night?
I'm worried, man. Like, Skubal has been balling out. He just hasn't had the run support, and all of the momentum is going towards the Tigers, but we have beaten them 4 times, so there's hope. There's hope for everybody.
It's going to be a thriller Friday night. Thanks, Guillermo. Appreciate the phone call. All right, guys. 8 o'clock hour, we have Red Wing tickets to give away. We're going to have tickets for every home game this season as part of the centennial celebration. What you're going to want to do is listen for a drop in the 8 o'clock hour. When you hear Mickey Redmond's Bingo Bango, you'll call in to win those tickets to see the Red Wings in their opener tonight at Little Caesars Arena. It's 97.1.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.